Welcome to the 2015 Atlanta Falcons State of the Franchise.
Introduce Dan Quinn to Atlanta.
It's really cool to be in a community Absolutely. Where football is this important. I can't wait to be a part of this group and have those guys as fired up about Atlanta Falcon football as I am to be the head coach here.
With the eighth pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Vic Beasley.
And it is good! Atlanta wins!
Let's go. Leave it all out here today. Everything. Leave it all out here. You hear me? Falcons on three. One, two, three.
And now, please welcome your host for the evening, Zach Klein.
What's up, Falcon fans? How's everybody doing tonight? Falcon fans! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about! This is football! I am WSB Channel 2 Sports Director Zach Klein, and it is an honor and a privilege to be with you guys tonight for the 2015 Falcons State of the Franchise. We have a great program put together for you this evening that will provide a deep insight into your favorite team, the Atlanta Falcons. That's right. You'll have a chance to hear an update on the community efforts the Falcons are working with and putting on the West Side neighborhoods. You get a chance to check in and speak with General Manager Thomas Dimitroff and Head Coach Dan Quinn. They are in the building. We'll also get you an off-season update on how things are going for a few of your Falcon players. Also, fans, tonight, you have a chance to do what I do. That's ask questions. So we want you to get out your smartphones and go to ATLSOF2015.com. Obviously, ATL Atlanta, SOF, State of the Franchise, 2015.com. Once you guys get logged in, use the passcode Rise Up. Very simple. Post your questions. You can vote for some questions. We're going to have the panel of guys come to the stage, so make sure you get those questions in and get excited about what happens ahead for the 2015 Falcons. You guys ready to get this thing going? Yeah. Are we ready to get this thing going? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Please welcome to the stage the owner of your Atlanta Falcons. We know who he is, Mr. Arthur Blake.
That's how you do
Great
it.
Great stuff. Good seeing you, my friend.
Thank you for doing this, Zach.
Of course. Happy to be here. This is awesome stuff. Thank you. First time. I'll be back for 2016, I hope. But let's talk about the 2015 season ahead.
I like the socks.
Thank you. I've got no red in them.
Mine always match.
I think I stole them from TD's closet. He's a sock
guy. I learned from Reggie. He's got it figured out.
You know, it's one of the smallest fraternities in the world.
The
32. Socks. 32 head coaches in the NFL.
Right.
You could have had your choice of anybody from the college ranks, the NFL ranks. During the process, when you were interviewing these coaches, how'd you decide on Dan Quinn?
Well, I got to be careful what I say because he can tear up his contract and then say, when I say a lot of nice things, I want to double it right away. But we actually went through a very extensive search. Myself, Thomas, Rich, Kim, Scott, Pioli. A lot of folks working on this, and we interviewed actually seven coaching candidates. So For a lot of reasons, this was the, in my opinion, I think the opinion of a lot of folks, the franchise of choice. And so, and Dan was obviously being sought after, having a great record in Seattle and going back beyond Seattle. So we loved the fact that he fit in culturally. We loved his energy. We loved his enthusiasm. We loved his football track record. We loved the way he performs as a coach and on defense and understanding offense and special teams. We loved his collaboration with Thomas Dimitroff, what we projected, and that's turned out to be phenomenal. They've got a great partnership together in every sense of the word. So I really, looking at the offseason moves, I could not be happier with free agency and the draft that we've gone through. And most importantly, I think we have some players here tonight. I don't know where they're all sitting, but they're around here. And I think you'll hear from them if you ask them the same question. You know, they would say the same thing. I mean, they love the offseason. They love the coach and the coaching staff. It's not just the head coach, it's who is able to attract and bring in the building, and he's done a phenomenal job. So I know this is going to cost me a lot of money, Dan. So that's the last nice thing I'm going to say right now.
Well, Coach,
it's great to have you here.
Yes,
we love you, man.
Coach Quinn talks about a fast and furious defensive philosophy. Any doubt in your mind the 2015 Falcons D will be better than it was a year ago?
Well, I think, you know, if you talk to our players, they will tell you, most importantly, as opposed to me just an observer, that these practices are not only is the music nonstop, but the players move nonstop. I mean, they are fast-paced, drilled. They're moving from one thing to the next thing. And, you know, the way they're connecting with each other, the way they're connecting with the coaching staff, the level of intensity. And one of the beautiful things that I've seen actually going through our roster evaluation and talking about players, and I see this in business, and I've seen this with our coach as well. He's worked really hard at this. Is not the focus. Hi, future Falcon fan, wherever you are. Hi, honey, little boy or girl. Hi, sweetie. Glad you're here. So, but is that, you know, Dan's focus is not on what the player cannot do, but on the player can do. And, you know, whether in business or in life or in everything, you focus on the positives and not on the negatives. And he's done that in a beautiful way. And I feel that with him, and I see it with his coaches, and I see that with Thomas as well. So, you know, I think that, you know, this coaching staff is going to work hard at putting the players in the best position they can to win. Win personally and then win for each other and win for the team. So it's great.
I know draft day is a fun day to be in the war room. Your digital team does a great job of letting the Falcon fans inside there for a moment on the day. When you look back at the 2015 draft class that TD and Coach Quinn did, you happy and pleased with things moving forward with the guys they were able to accumulate?
Yeah, I you know, I am, but, you know, if you ask 31 other owners, they would say the same thing.
Sure.
They'd say, well, we're thrilled with our draft, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, I'm thrilled with the overall evaluation of our roster, then Thomas and Scott and Dan went through this offseason. I'm excited about their thoughtfulness and free agency and the pacing and the steps they went through and not focus on the headlines but focus on players that will be connecting with each other and connecting with the schemes and the visions that Dan and his other coaching staff have laid out. And obviously on draft day, we got faster, we got more emphasis on defense, we picked up some good players on offense. So, you know, I'm excited about what I see so far, and our organized team activities have gone well. We have our mini camp coming up. We've had a couple of mini camps behind us, and a full training camp will start in July.
Yeah, mini camp, OTAs, you have training camp coming up, right. And then the week one will be here before you know it.
It will be. I'm just saying to Dan inside that it's really not, you know, you think during the summer you begin to focus, well, I finally can take some family vacation, et cetera, but getting this time of the year, though I'm excited about taking some time with my family, you begin thinking immediately, well, let's get to training camp, let's get the season going,
right.
Let's get going, and wait until that first Monday night game against the loved Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a game you can see on WSB Channel 2, by the way. A quick plug there. What do you think the Dome will be that night? It's going to be rocking, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the Dome is always rocking. I mean, the tremendous, you know, shout out and thanks to, you know, everybody here and to our fans throughout Atlanta. We end up filling up that building 71,000 strong, you know, for all of our games. And that Monday night's going to be incredible. And I know the coaches and players looking forward to it. And ESPN is looking forward to it, and we are as well. So, and I'm sure the Eagles are too.
You're very, you know, emotional. You wear your emotions on your sleeve with this team. I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you're always honest with me.
Yeah.
Will this team, can this team be in the postseason after missing it the last 2 years?
Well, I'm going to tell you, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Dan told me to say yes. So I'm going to say yes. Isn't that what you told me to say? Did I get it right? Close to right? Okay. Well, actually, I just speak for myself because the coach can speak for himself when he's up here. But in my opinion, I would say the answer is yes. I think the job the coach and coaching staff has done is incredible. I think the players that we've built on our roster, Thomas, Coach, and Scott working together. I love the practices. I love the environment. I love the energy. I love the commitment they have to each other. So, you know, I am really, truly excited about it. And beyond excited, I mean, I have reason to be hopeful. But, you know, I'm not in the prediction business. But make sure you ask the coach the question in front of everybody here.
We'll put him on the spot
as
well.
So give me a couple minutes to think of a good answer. Yeah.
The Falcons recently announced a personal seat license pricing for both the club level and reserve seats in the new stadium.
Right.
PSL program is very common in the NFL, Arthur, but they're new to Atlanta, new obviously to the Falcons for their season ticket holders. Can you provide us some insight in how the process has gone and what we can expect in regard to the PSL program?
Well, PSLs are very common today throughout America. There hasn't been a stadium built in the last number of years without a PSL program, and college actually has a recognition program, a donor program. It's very similar. They call it by another name. And so we spent a lot of time talking to fans throughout Atlanta, throughout the Great Atlanta region, and bringing in people that are experts in terms of the PSL process, et cetera. So we've come up with a very broad range of PSLs in terms of opportunities. We just announced recently the last opportunity for PSLs, and it's 13 different price points. So, you know, we can get anybody in the building that really would like to be part of that going forward, and we're excited about that. I will say this, that, you know, if you look at our PSL program compared to the last three stadiums built in Dallas and New York and San Francisco, our total proceeds will be 40% less than those on average. So we understand the balance between the public contribution, the private contribution, i.e. the owner, and what we're asking our fans to do to support. The building is going to be worth it, et cetera, but we're very sensitive to that.
Without question. It's hard to believe it's been a year since you guys put the shovel in the ground, and this will not be a crown jewel in the U.S., folks. This will be the number one stadium in the world. Everybody will be looking at Atlanta for this.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Yeah. Now, for those of you that haven't seen some of the progress, this is what it looks like for the last year, your new Falcon Stadium coming in 2017.
It is going to be amazing, and it's right, obviously, right down the street, or very, very close to here, and we've got close to 1,000 employees, 1,000 workers on the site now. So, I mean, it's remarkable what they've done in a year. It really is incredible, and we've got a great team. We've got a great project manager, a great construction company holder, a great architectural team. So we couldn't be more enthused about where we are, and we've got a lot of work to do in the next couple of years, but we're working hard on it.
Yeah, and the next decade, folks, you're going to have Final Fours, BCS Final Fours, championship games, hopefully a Super Bowl coming to Atlanta. Yeah, this place can be great.
Right.
And the Falcons will maybe be the first team to play a Super Bowl inside their home stadium, right?
Well,
it's going to have some amazing new amenities. What are some of the cool features?
We'll do it before then.
Yes.
We'll play the Super Bowl before 2017, 8 days.
Go back to back.
Yeah.
Three-peat in there.
Yeah. You can ask Dan that question, too.
He's got all the questions. We're good. What are some of the new features, some of the new very innovative amenities we'll see in
well,
this?
Well, I mean, we could take an hour and talk about it, but essentially, if you look at the design of the building, it's going to be the most unique and iconic sports entertainment venue in the United States. And it's easy for me to say that, you know, as the owner, but we've had people in a variety of capacities come in and look at the building and consult on the building, give us guidance, and have stepped away and have said, you know, we've looked at a lot of these stadiums here in the United States and throughout the world, and we think this is going to be the finest sports entertainment venue, certainly in the United States, if not the world. So everything from the roof, which is retractable and will open within 7 minutes, to the halo board, which is 6 stories high, 1,100 feet going around, 64,000 square feet of a circular halo board, which is the largest video board in the world, to a 100-foot bar. For some of us, it'll be 100 foot one way and 100 foot the other way. It's a 100-yard bar, yeah. Not to be clear on it. But it's going to have amenities throughout the building in every form of fashion. Places to eat will be 65% more than we currently have today. Concourses, arcades, variety of seating. It's just, you know, I mean, the list just goes on, sure. And on. And I think that when people give a chance to get inside the building, they're going to be incredibly enthused about what they're going to see and experience. I would say this to you. A lot of times people talk about the building, and the building is going to be incredible. However, the experience within the building, everything from the way we're going to nurture you and take care of you and serve you and the kind of fan-friendly pricing we're going to have on our food and services and things of that nature, the experience inside the building will match the building itself. So it'll be world-class design-wise, exterior-wise, interior-wise, and experience-wise, it'll be very unique as well.
Great segue. Yes, give it up. Now, for those of you that have not seen the inside of the stadium, what it will look like in a few years, they did a great job of providing us with a kind of a fly-through for the new 2017 Falcon Stadium. Take a look. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We saw in the video, Arthur, it's gonna be will be reconfigured for soccer.
Right.
Your plans for the new stadium when it comes to soccer or football?
Well, you know, most people in this audience are American football fans, but not because they're playing Women's World Cup now. But the reality is that soccer is the world sport, and so we're thrilled to be able to participate through MLS, Major League Soccer, and we actually have three of our senior associates here tonight. So let me introduce them. Darren Eels is here, our president. Stand up, wave, Darren. Okay. Carlos Bocanegra. Carlos, stand up, wave, please. Carlos is Thomas's counterpart. Carlos, Darren ran the Tottenham Spurs, which is one of the English Premier League teams, played at Brown University, was player of the year at Brown University, and has had a lot of records. Carlos actually was captain of the U.S. national team in 2006 and 2010. Played for the United States, and obviously in both of those years. Was MLS Defender of the Year for 2 years, et cetera. And my fiance tells me he's the best-looking guy in the building, no matter who's in the building. So Carlos is here. And Ann Rodriguez just joined us today, actually, is our first day. Ann is from Under Armour and ran globally soccer for Under Armour in terms of their branding and their strategy and what have you, in terms of some other responsibilities, and helped launch another franchise for MLS. So we're excited about Major League Soccer, and what's incredible, Zach, is that we're still 2 years away from playing our first match. It's not a game, it's a match.
Right.
And playing on a pitch, not a field. And yet we've gotten 20,000 subscriptions, deposits on season tickets with 2 years yet to play. And that's, you know, it's a tribute to Atlanta, and it's a tribute to the soccer support we're seeing in this community, which is incredible. It's commitment to youth soccer, which is very significant in Atlanta. And it's amazing. What's amazing also about it is that that whole demographic in many ways is very, very different. So of the 20,000 deposits we've received for season tickets for soccer, only 47 are season ticket holders for the Atlanta Falcons. 47 out of 20,000. So, you know, when we get cranked up, we'll do a better job of communicating to everybody in this building and give you a chance to participate in soccer as well. But the stadium is designed, and Rich did a fabulous job on this, our team president, Rich McKay, CEO, in designing it not just for NFL but for MLS. So the stands pull back. There'll be all the lines on the field will be designed just for soccer and not for NFL when we're playing. The stadium will be draped. The upper bowl will be draped, so we'll have that intimate atmosphere, which is important for soccer. We'll seat about 30,000 folks for soccer. We can go up, though, either because MLS is going to require it, or will require it, I should say, or because of the matches we'll be playing, or the international matches we'll be playing this. So we're very excited about soccer, as you can tell, and we've got a great leadership team to help us get launched.
Yeah, I got an email from Darren probably about a few months ago. He's like, Zach, we're having a charity event down at Grady High School, Soccer in the Streets. You want to? Can you help out and play a couple soccer matches? And I said, of course. So, you know, anything for you, you know, raising money for the kids. So I go out there. Who's on the team? Carlos is on the team. He's only the world, you know, U.S. record holder for caps for U.S. World Cup soccer. There's three other Division I All-Americans on this team. Your son was on the team. I think I got tired and pulled a hammy in pregame warm-ups.
You played great, Zach.
Yeah, it was, we had a lot of fun, raised a lot of money. Yeah. And
we did raise a lot of money. Great.
You know, we have a lot of your guys in the front row, but, you know, Darren, you know, he's the first 5 minutes of the game, Carlos throws a perfect pass. Darren dives head first, scores a goal, so he dominates on the pitch. But then he goes to Flowery Branch about a month later, used to American football, and he's used to football from overseas. Take a look at what he did over at Falcons headquarters.
Got it.
Yards. Yeah.
52. A little bit nervous, you know.
Matt Bryant.
Know, we actually, and Matt's here, and he said, I'm really glad I just extended my contract because I would have had some second thoughts about this. What we should have done, if we were really smart, is that we should have had Darren do some kicking before we asked Matt to extend his contract. That made it strengthen our position, but we didn't figure that one out. But anyway, it was very impressive, Darren.
World Cup was huge in the States. The Women's World Cup's going now. There's no doubt in your mind MLS will succeed here in Atlanta?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I couldn't be. Atlanta is a hub for soccer in the Southeast. It's the ninth largest market in the country today. Over 55,000 young folks play soccer in Atlanta. There's a variety of successful clubs. It's played in schools. And so I'm, and the response from our fans, soccer fans, has been incredible. And when we see the roster building that Darren and Carlos and others will help be doing, I mean, one of the beautiful things about these two gentlemen is that not only are they great to work with, but because they're international experience, they understand soccer, unlike American football, which is essentially recruited through the college system here in America. Soccer is because it's played in 200 countries, 208 or 9 countries worldwide, whatever the right number is based on FIFA, whatever FIFA's left of FIFA, I should say. But they understand 209 countries, and they understand where soccer players come from throughout the world. So their ability to recruit and scout and bring soccer players here internationally, I think, and their experience in doing that, I think, will be very helpful to us going forward. So I feel very fortunate, and all of our soccer fans feel very fortunate having this trio right here.
We know how important soccer is, football is, the new stadium is to right. you, but more importantly beyond that is what your foundation is doing, Arthur. On the west side, we'll hear more about this, folks, in just a few minutes. But can you tell us why engaging these communities around the stadium is so important to you?
Well, I think it's important in all of our businesses, Zach. We take, whether it's our Atlanta Falcons or MLS going forward or our PGA to Superstores or our guest ranch in Montana or really any of our businesses, an important part of the fabric and the fiber of what our businesses are is giving back and making a difference in people's lives. And I was doing an interview earlier today, and I was telling the reporter that, you know, one of the reasons why it's important is that our associates have aspirations to be part of an organization that's not just about building revenue and making money, et cetera. It's really just not about winning games. The winning games is really critical, whether it be NFL or MLS. It doesn't make a difference. But it's also making a difference in people's lives and giving back and saying thank you and finding ways in running our businesses, not just on the side of our businesses, but running our businesses to find ways to say thank you to the communities that we're involved in. And the west side of Atlanta is got a great history to Atlanta. It's important history nationally, regionally, and we have committed ourselves. Rich and I sat in Lord knows how many breakfasts over a period of 5 or 6 years talking about not just the stadium, but our vision for the greater west side. And Penny McPhee, I'm not sure she's here tonight, president of our foundation. Frank Fernandez is our vice president over here, and you'll hear from Frank shortly. But all of us are committed to that long journey of making a difference in the lives of those folks and giving those communities a chance to be the best they can be. Just the way Coach Quinn talks about players being the best they can be, we want the individuals living in those communities to have the best opportunity, a level playing field, the best chance for success in lives for themselves personally and for their children. And so we thank you. So we understand that, and we understand that the stadium is a dream and a vision. The changing and the commitment to the West Side is an equal vision and dream that we have as well.
The West Side community, yes. West Side community, obviously, happy, more than thrilled to have you in their corner, the Falcon fans as well. So we appreciate your time. Cannot wait to kick things off the 2015 season.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur Blake.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We mentioned the very important aspect of the building is to ensuring the surrounding communities, folks, experience the same sense of renewal, the same sense of hope and vibrancy. In March of 2013, the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation committed $15 million to the revitalization of Atlanta's historic West Side neighborhoods. Tonight, we have a few special guests who will bring to life the work that has been done, the impact it is making, and the renewed sense of hope that exists in these communities. Please, let's turn our attention now for a short video on what's happening on this West Side community.
Decades of concentrated poverty, blight, staggering unemployment rates have left the once vibrant neighborhoods of Atlanta's historic West Side longing for meaningful progress. The reason I'm optimistic about it is because the people in these communities still have hope, still have aspirations, still care about the same things that we all care about. So while they're suffering and have struggled with these issues, their spirit is not broken. Their heart is not broken. Their faith in the future is not broken. Stadium is part of the solution because the stadium is a catalyst. We wanted to make a major difference in these communities, not just during the construction period, but beyond the construction period. Today, we're moving beyond imagining a new future for the West Side to creating a new future with and for the residents of its neighborhoods. In March 2013, my family foundation publicly committed to investing $15 million
in transformational community development. The $15 million Neighborhood Prosperity Fund is part of our commitment to the community. The city, at the same time, through Invest Atlanta, invested an additional $15 million.
You have a combination square.
Our focus is on the power of building human capital. We believe that changing one life at a time does make a difference, and that the power of many can make a lasting impact for Westside residents. They deserve a chance to be the best they can be in their own lives. They need a chance to be able to get good training, to go to work, to provide for themselves.
See how I put that mark right there, right at the top? Because that's where
Westside Works gives folks from these communities an opportunity to not only get the training, but be placed in jobs.
Here, so bring it closer to you.
Business as usual is no longer acceptable. Westside residents deserve to believe that the future can be different. It's up to us to give them an opportunity to level that playing field and an opportunity to be the very best they can be.
So that's what we will be watching.
But creating this real transformation of people and place will take the power of many and will take time. These Westside communities have been left behind, not because people didn't care, not because people didn't try, not because there wasn't dollars invested, not because of a lot of well-intentioned efforts on behalf of a lot of people, but they weren't coordinated, they weren't always from the ground up. This is an opportunity for like-minded institutions, organizations, individuals to step up and to make a difference themselves and to be part of this. We can all participate in this common purpose, and when we do, the West Side will rise. It's an opportunity for you to look back and say, I made a difference in people's lives.
Please welcome to the stage Vice President of Community Development, Frank Fernandez. My name is Frank Fernandez, and I'm tasked with leading our efforts on the West Side. As you saw in that video, very clearly, Arthur is committed and passionate to the work we're doing in the community on the West Side. This work is critically important to him, to us at the Foundation, to the Falcons. But it isn't just important to our team. It is important to all of us. Is important to the broader Atlanta community. That amazing stadium you saw will be done in less than 2 years, and it's going to be the finest sports stadium in the world. But if we don't get the work in the community right, none of it will work. You can't have this shining example of what is great about Atlanta right next to what is arguably worst about Atlanta. Neighborhoods that have been forgotten, disenfranchised, and disinvested. We are committed to making that dynamic change. Our vision isn't really our vision. It is a vision for community transformation that is grounded in the hopes and aspirations of the folks from the West Side. And this is not a grandiose vision. In fact, it's a vision that for something very basic that most of us here have but take for granted. They want to have access to jobs that allow them to take care of themselves and their families. They want to feel safe walking down the street. They want to feel good about the schools their kids go to. It's that basic. They want to, in short, have a fair shot at a decent life.
Over the last year or so, I've had the pleasure and privilege of working with a lot of Westside community residents and leaders and been impressed and amazed by the things I see them do every day in those circumstances you saw that many of us think is unfathomable. Shortly, you're going to hear from four of some of these folks that we've been working with over the last year, and they'll tell you their story, what they're doing, and how we're trying to give them the tools they need to succeed. They represent for us the hope that the West Side will rise up. Indeed, that the West Side is on the rise. Back.
Hello, my name is Pat Campbell, and I'm a resident of English Avenue. Just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm the only and youngest girl in the family of four. Had three older brothers. All my brothers are dead. The last one died 24 years ago. My one goal in life became making sure that my children lived long lives, making sure that they didn't end up in jail or dead. My mother passed in 2009 after living in English Avenue for almost 40 years. Back then, most people were, at least on her street, owned their own homes, and they took pride in the house. They took pride in their surroundings. It's a different picture there today. My mother died in 2009, and I lost my job in 2009. Never thought I'd be in her house, but that's where I live now, in the English Avenue neighborhood. My intention was to move in, get me a good job, and move right out. 6 years later, I'm still there. Went back to school, got a degree, still couldn't find a job good enough, or should I say that pays enough. So I'm still there. But what I've decided to do is I got involved with the Neighborhood Association, started trying to figure out what I could do to help my neighborhood. Because there's a lot of despair there. You know, it can be depressing at times if you see this day in and day out. And one thing we realized as a neighborhood association was that there just wasn't much we could do without funds. And when you live in a neighborhood where most of the people's salaries are minimum wage, you're not going to raise much either. So when we found out about the Westside Momentum program, and all the things that they were going to do or help us do, it brought a lot of hope back to some people who had really kind of given up. One of the things that I found out with the Westside Momentum is sometimes it's not the big things, although we do need the big things. Sometimes it's the little things. For instance, the Blank Foundation paid for the design and installation of a sign. It seems really simple. A neighborhood sign, just to give us some identity. That promoted community pride. They also sponsored the neighborhood painting a mural for the entrance to our neighborhood. And looks like a real simple little thing, but it really hit me when my granddaughter, when I took her to school, and she saw it for the first time, and she just lit up. Her face, everything was just a glow, so now I have to go by there every morning so she can see the mural, and it gives both of us a boost. You know, at one point, I really felt disparity living where I live, and I couldn't wait to move. But now, I see hope. I see hope in people in the community, as well as hope with what the Blank Foundation is doing. So, instead of running away now, I want to stay and help. And with all the hope and encouragement that we're getting, I too can say, West Side is truly on the rise. Thank you.
How you doing?
My name's Benjamin Bell. I'm a local here in the West Side area. First of all, I'd like to personally thank you out the blank. You're a true philanthropist. The things that your foundation is doing for the community, remarkable. One thing that you know about the community living in it, a lot of the young folks don't have a vision. That was most of my problem. I went to school, got a trade, bounced in and around from different jobs, but one thing I lacked was a vision, what I truly wanted to do. I heard about the program. I figured, hey, I don't have anything else going on. I might as well take a shot. So I went down. I was expecting, you know, standard program. You mean people who just trying to do your job. But the thing is, when you get down in West Side work, you meet a lot of people who are truly concerned about the outcome of your life. They're willing to invest their time and effort, and that's something that a lot of people are not willing to do. So when I got down there, I met Jamie Buck, Scott Shelart, Mark Hornbuckle, a couple of people that are head of the program, and they welcomed me with open arms. I didn't know quite what I wanted to do, but they had a long list of options for me, and that made it easy for me. So I took the opportunity, put my bid in, and after a couple of weeks, you know, you had to be there based off a point system. If you were late, if you didn't show up, it took away points. So in that way, if you lost a certain amount of points, you were eliminated from the program. So in a way, that was like kind of motivation, getting you the same experience as a work setting. So I did it. I kind of enjoyed it. I actually truly did. But one thing Westside Work is for the kids and the people of the community, it's a beacon. It's a beacon of hope. It gives people a chance to go out and make a difference in their lives and do something for themselves. For a long time, some people have been out of work. The economy has been up and down, and people can't seem to find their way. So people are reaching out to help you, and you just take that opportunity and you soar with it. I'm happy, and I think it's a privilege that I got to be a part of the first class. They had to work their kinks out with us, but at the same time, we came out on top. And it's been a blessing for me every day. I'm taking it a step at a time, and I'm just continuing to go forward in the future and progress as I go. So once again, thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to continue working and making the impression for those who came with me and those that will come after me. So thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Hi, my name is Valerie Walker, and I'm a member of Urban Perform Center that's on the West Side. And Laura Pritchett is the owner of that center, the founder. The fitness center is a health center. Our community is in our community, and it has been a blessing for us to be there, that fitness center to be there in the community. It has given myself and my children an opportunity to go somewhere to work out, to be healthy, to find comfort. They're just like family. Laura is just like family, her and Sasha. I've been going there for like a year, and they have this program there that helps us. It is a health program, and it helps us. They have vegetables, fresh vegetables. Every Thursday, we go get the vegetables, and we go get the vegetables, and they're free for myself and my family and the other members there at the health center. And they are very, very nice vegetables and fruit. And I just love them being in the area. I'm just so thankful that they decided to come in the Vine City area to be a part of our community. And I'm also thankful for the Arthur Blank Foundation that's helping building our community. And I just want to thank everyone that came out tonight to just represent the West Side community.
Hey, how everybody doing today? My name is Kevin Hurt, and I just want to start mine off with some statistics. So many people consider the West Side like a rough place to live and a rough place to grow up. So they say on the West Side, only 20% of residents 18 and over graduate from high school. So when I entered high school, I was motivated by this statistic. So going through ninth grade, I constantly found myself, like, I wasn't really motivated. I just used to do things just to get by, just, like, get through. So I had received my report card at the end of the year, and I had, like, all B's and one C. And it didn't really sit well with me, so I was kind of like, I got to do better. So that summer, I was looking for something, like, to help me improve on that, like, improve on my work ethics and help me, like, improve, like, to be a better person. So that's when I stumbled across the American Explorers program. So the American Explorers program, it was a program where they were choosing 20 inner-city kids to take them to Montana, and it was a leadership program. So I seen that as a great opportunity for me, so I signed up. So I went to the orientation. I was kind of scared because I was like, a lot of these kids, like, they're smarter than me. I was scared. So when I got chose, I was so surprised and I was happy. So when we first got off, like, when we first got to the trip, when it was time to leave, I was really happy because I think I was the only kid there who never rode on the plane. So I was more excited about the plane ride than the actual trip. So we got on the plane, right? And when we got there, I just noticed something. Like, I noticed, like, it was a different atmosphere. So, like, I was just seeing different things, seeing different people. And so it kind of motivated me to do better. So throughout the whole trip, like, I was constantly challenged, like, emotionally, physically, and it was just challenging. It was hard. So I was always put in a situation where I was going to either give up or keep pushing. And I always chose to keep pushing. And so it just taught me to have... And so it just taught me to have, like, better work ethics. And, like, when I was there, I experienced so many things that I never thought I would be doing in my life. Like, I got to go. I did a lot of things. I went whitewater rafting. And I never could see myself on a canoe in some cold water. So I went whitewater rafting. What else we do? We went to Yellowstone National Park. We saw bears. We saw all types of animals. And actually, like, in the woods, like, camping and stuff, and I learned how to cook outside, like, survive outside with, like, no TV, no phone, no shelter. It was just out there. So, like, it was a life-changing experience. And when I got back, the first thing I was doing, I was telling all my friends, like, hey, it's a lot of things you can do in the world. Hey, it's a lot of stuff outside the West Side. So I feel like the program made me a better leader. And I feel like it, like, changed my life. It was a life-changing experience. So that's why, like, this upcoming year, that's why I say, like, I'm a student athlete. I'm on the honor roll. I'm in the beta club. And I just feel like I'm a walking example of how the West Side is on the rise. Thank you.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Folks, give it up. Let's say it one more time for Frank Fernandez and the rest of our special guests. You guys are awesome. Yeah. Wow. So cool.
He said he's a student athlete, but if, you know, I got to look about my job. He's going to be a broadcaster one of these days. Jeez. Let's stay up here.
All right, folks, don't forget, submit your questions. Check out ATLSOF2015.com. Log in your smartphones. Use the passcode RISEUP and ask our panelists some questions. We'll get to those at the end of the program. All right, who's ready to talk some football? Yeah, come on. Football season is here. Welcome to the main stage, your general manager, Thomas Dimitroff, and the new head coach of your Falcons, Mr. Dan Quinn. You know, when I first met you, it was at your introductory press conference. I said, Coach Zach Klein from WSB. WSB stands for Welcome South, brother. So,
one of the things I do love about living in this community is that football is important. Yeah. Talking about high school football on Friday nights, the college football on Saturdays, and then pro football on Sundays and Mondays, and occasionally some Thursdays. So, man, is it awesome to be in a community where football is so important?
It's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. It's like, can you believe it's been 4 months? As if time flown by, you're starting to settle into your surroundings?
Yeah, it's been a blast these first 4 months. It's gone fast, and just getting the ability to connect with the team and with Thomas, and we can't wait to get started.
You talk about being hype and getting things going. I think it sets the tone with your OTA, the music, the playlist. I mean, everything. You got to check it out. I mean, it's like number one on iTunes right now, his playlist. Everything from Kanye West, Tupac, Eminem, to the White Stripes, Pearl Jam, and Sly and the Family Stone. So, head coach Falcons, part-time DJ, where does the inspiration for the playlist come in?
Well, we want it to be fast,
yeah.
And that's for sure. Part of the music at practice by design, and the players can certainly tell you this, during the game, it's absolute chaos out on the field. So at practice, we're trying to simulate as much loud and energy as we can, and then that way when they get into the game, they're so familiar with these surroundings.
And for both you guys, so what's the one concert you would go to cancel practice and the one concert you would go to allow him to cancel practice?
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. You, what would you go? What's your one concert you wouldn't miss?
I'm a big Zach Brown fan, and I think he rocks his community, so that's good for us. Good fan, too.
Now, I know one of the most essential things of being a general manager, Thomas, is the relationship with the head coach. You guys got to be on the same page all the time. During the interview process, was there an aha moment where you said, that's it, that's my guy, I know we're going to be a great tandem working together in the future?
Well, as Arthur was talking about, he put together a really adept committee, a really well-thought-out committee to look at everything. Looking at Dan, we all agreed that Dan was a guy that had the plan. He's a guy that was very, very prepared. He had that positive, passionate side to him. And as he said, playing fast, playing physical, and playing free is something that really caught my attention.
Was that the philosophy then in retooling this new look at 2015 roster, fast, furious?
Fast and physical for sure. And these guys have worked extremely hard this offseason. It was important for me to partner up with somebody like Thomas, and we could just share, you know, the vision of how we wanted our team to play in the same way. And so that partnership started all the way back from the, you know, first day we arrived and went all the way through the offseason. And we're right near the end of it now, and the guys have had a terrific offseason.
I'm sure your phone was blowing up when you got the job. People wanted to join your staff. Again, in the elite fraternity, only 32 head coaches in the NFL and the staffs. You know, it's a dream for most everybody. When you decided on Coach Shanahan, Richard Smith, Raheem Morris, retaining Keith Armstrong, what went into that, and why did those guys get the jobs they so rightly deserve?
Yeah, why don't we probably start with, you know, on special teams first with Keith Armstrong, and one of our goals is to be the – yeah, I hear you. Keith is he's one of the best fundamental coaches in ball, and to me, we want to be the best fundamental team, the way we tackle, the way we prepare, the way we're going to out-hit people, and Keith stands for that. On the offensive side of the ball with Kyle Shanahan and his group, when you play against this offense, which I've coached against a number of times, the balance, the run pass, the way they can tack the edges with the keepers, the zone game, it's an absolute challenge. And so knowing that we had this unique opportunity to have Kyle join on board and play in a way that we'd like to, we will feature the run game, and we do feel like that run game does close the circle of toughness on our team. We've got some explosive players both in the run game and the ability to throw it, and we're going to feature them every way we can. Defensively, with Raheem Morris and with Rich Smith, those two guys have such a good balance for each other. One has such experience on the front seven, and then Raheem with his experience on the back end, and then I'll certainly be heavily involved with the defense as well. So our whole objective was to see how much unique stuff we could find from the players, and that's our job as coaches to help draw it out of them. And so we're looking for all the things that a guy can do and then how we can feature him.
As your first stint as a head coach in the NFL, what is your role in terms of being a former defensive guy with Seattle to talk to Raheem and talk to the guys in the rooms? Are you going to get in there quite frequently and let the guys you hired, the best of what they do their jobs, a little bit of both?
Yeah, I'm certainly going to be involved with the defense. And the number one thing is just when you play defense, it's a mindset. You know, it's an attitude. It's the way we tackle. It's the way we play, the way we're going to hit the quarterback, the way we're going to go after the ball. You know, I would hope when our fans see us play, they say, man, these guys play hard.
Yeah.
And I would hope they say, these guys are as tough as they come. They knock the heck out of people. And I hope when they leave the stadium, they say, these guys know how to finish.
Fast, physical. You and I were talking, you know, you said, Zach, you know, you don't want to pick in the top 10 too often. But when you get there, you want to make the most of the picks. And you were telling us, you guys had your sights set on Vic Beasley, eighth overall. Was that a little bit of a smokescreen? Or, you know, because you don't know what to believe as a media guy listening to the head coach and the GM and preparing for everything. But was he on the top of your board from day one?
Yeah, actually, before we go there, I think it's important to know that Dan Quinn is the only head coach, in my mind, in this league who takes an individual position in individual drills. He will be coaching your pass rushers. So I think
there you go.
That's what we need. We need
get
a
after that quarterback.
That's an amazing part of this defense. So, Vic Beasley, we talked a lot about what we're looking for in the defense. We had some challenges over the last few years. We knew we needed a pass rusher, a guy that was very athletic, very fast, to get up and around the corner and pressure the quarterback consistently. And we feel like Vic Beasley is a guy to really build around on our pass rush side.
Vic's the man. Saw him at Clemson. Legit. NFL.com, A. Bleacher Report, A. SB Nation, A. Sports Illustrated, A. Getting a little sense of the theme here. ESPN's Mel Kiper, who's tough to please, B+. Strong grades for the entire 2015 draft class. 7 weeks after the draft, guys, you've had a chance to let it marinate, kind of soak in a little bit. If I give you a mulligan, would you do it, or is this the core group of guys you confident believe it will take us in the future?
I definitely feel very, very proud of what we worked very hard together as a staff, on the coaching staff and a scouting staff with Scott Pioli and his staff and the rest of the coaching staff. We spent a lot of time together talking about exactly the nuances of the football players that Dan Quinn and his staff needed, and that is vital to build a football team. So I really like what we did, humbly enough, and I think you guys all will see some very good football players in this year's draft.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when Thomas and I got connected and get together is how could we see how we could select the players and how best the coaches could feature those guys. So that was the plan during free agency, that was the plan during the draft, and it's certainly the plan with the players that were currently on the roster. There's some terrific guys that are already part of this program, and so for us to add another draft class into that group, we can't wait to let this thing rip with everybody.
Defense, obviously, strength of the focus in the draft. Offensively, though, Matt Ryan, one of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL. The guy prepares, puts his heart and soul into preparing every single game to give you. When you've seen him on the OTAs, again, it stands for, organized team activities. They're optional. They don't have to go, but that leader is going to be in that locker room. What's been your early reaction in dealing Matt in a one-on-one basis?
Well, I think going against some of the guys, coaching against the Falcons in the years, you knew what the player Matt was. What I probably didn't have a full appreciation for was his level of grit, what the competitor was, what he stands for, what he means to his teammates. Those are the things that you don't necessarily know from the outside. And then once you're around those kind of competitors, guys like Julio Jones, who's here, and Des True, and some of the other guys, they have grit, they have toughness, they're able to finish, and Matt Ryan has that, and I love that part of his game.
He's awesome, isn't he? Just the way he prepares is just, a little vanilla when we start talking to him. He's not going to stir the pot. We'd like, get everybody fired up. But he's great, man. He's legit and definitely one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Anything surprise you when having these conversations with Matt? Was the grit that? Was that it?
I think that was the biggest thing. I found out that the style of competitor that he is and that toughness, that grit, that willingness to go the extra distance, those are all the things that make him stand out as a player. And then the leader that he is amongst his teammates, it's really cool to see.
Thomas, go back to some of the guys you picked. You helped Matt out with some tools that he needs offensively. Tevin Coleman, a stud running back from Indiana, kind of as a compliment what you guys already have, which is some very athletic backs who can go, north, south, east, west. Other guys you picked, who are you high on, and what can we expect to see from this incoming class?
Well, I think from a running back standpoint, he's here with us today. We're really excited about Devontae Freeman.
Man.
He can go, and he's going to be a very important part of this run offense, teaming with Tevin Coleman, who, again, we're really excited about to sort of bring up this run offense, outside zone run scheme. I think that's going to be very important for us. We also went after Justin Hardy in the fourth round, inside receiver type of guy, to come in here after moving on with Harry Douglas moving on. We're in a spot with a guy like Hardy and some of the other receivers we brought in free agency that we think can really continue to bolster up a receiving group in our mind, the second to none, with Julio obviously leading the show there. I know we're right around the block here about trying to work on a contract here, Julio. So
yeah,
I know Mr. Blank is all smiles there as well. But we feel we have a very, very strong receiver group, and we feel like we built some offensive power there as well.
Yeah, so let me put on my journalistic cap, and I know it's the question everybody, or most everybody here wants to know. When will that guy's deal get done? I got you, man. I got you.
Arthur.
10% right here.
Arthur, you coming back up here?
Yeah, no roof. There no you go. Roof. That's how we're going to pay for Julio
we're
Jones.
We're going to trade the roof for Julio. Okay. Now we're obviously keyed up about working on Julio and having him here for a long, long time, and he's obviously an incredibly important part to this offense.
Yes. A sold-out crowd here tonight, Coach and TD. Every game, as Arthur mentioned earlier, 70,000-plus. Now, you're coming from Seattle, and they're known for the 12th man. So what can you do to rely on these fans to get them fired up about 2015 Falcon football? Because they got to bring it, man. You're used to some strong fans, but these guys have the potential to outdo the 12th man, don't they?
We're counting on that, number one. And I cannot wait to see our city connect with our team in such a way that'll make us so proud to see how hard these guys play. I've seen it firsthand, and I cannot wait to do it with this city and with this team.
Let's get it going, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, head coach Dan Quinn, general manager Thomas Dimitroff, Falcon football, a great team. Get you guys in a little bit. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, guys. Now, for the first time in the history of the state of the franchise, we have an opportunity to hear from some of your favorite Falcon football players. It's never been done before. So who's here? We gave a little sneak peek to Julio, but there are other big-time athletes in here as well. Let's introduce you to the guys coming to the stage tonight. Who's coming?
It is intercepted. Trufant.
Cornerback Desmond Trufant. Join in, Mr. Trufant, on the stage.
Kick is away, and it is good. Drive home safely. Atlanta wins.
Kicker in the National Football League. Money, Matt Bryant. Who else we got?
Pressure coming. Loops it to Freeman. A one-hand catch. Freeman at the five. Freeman a touchdown. Earl Devontae Freeman.
Devontae Freeman. Ah, those moves are sick. Joining Devontae and the rest of the crew are... One of the anchors of the O-line. Give it up for offensive lineman, Jake Matthews. Guns, baby. Following Jake, last but not least.
Oh, my goodness, fly paper in his left hand. Looping for Julio. Caught inside the five. Give it to him. Touchdown, Atlanta.
Number 11. The number one wide receiver in the National Football League. Julio Jones! Julio! All right, guys. First time ever. Give it up to the folks that made this happen tonight. Your players, folks. All right, for all you guys, you've had a few weeks to get associated with Coach Quinn and his new staff. Talk to me. Fast, furious, physical. What's it been like in OTAs?
Man, it's been competitive. You know, it feels like we got pads on out there because, you know, everybody going at it. I love it. I'm excited. Everybody's excited. You know, the team's really coming together, and it's all good.
There it is. Matt, you're used to the kicking game coordinator, so nothing really changed for you. But practice is still the intensity. Pretty fired up?
Well, just kind of, standing to the side and watching everything.
No, with the staff, with Coach Quinn, his demeanor, his level of intensity is very addicting in a good way. And you can see it in practice. You can see how everybody's it's crisp. It's moving fast. And so, yeah, you know, it's fun to watch.
You as well.
Y'all get me? it's been so good. Every day we've been out there competing with each other hard. The type of mentality that our players have and stuff now is I see everybody competing with each other. Everybody want to be the best, and I feel like the more people we get to buy into what the coaches and the GMs and what everybody want, this is just gonna make the whole team better.
Jake, how you feeling, man? You ready to go?
Feeling really good. The thing I've really noticed is the energy that Coach Quinn's brought. It's incredible. Every day going out to practice is just a blast, and we've been working really hard and getting a lot better. And you know, I'm excited for camp to start, ready to get to work and kick off this season.
That's right, Julio.
Me and Coach Quinn, we talk from day to day. I just love the way he challenges us every day, you know, to come out here and do it over and over and over again. You know, as a head coach, you can say, all right, I want this out of my team. I want you to go out here and do this, and then don't speak on it no more. And then, you know, guys lose sight of that. But every day he challenges us, and that's what I love about him, that energy, that passion he brings to the team.
Yeah, sources close to the Falcons that told me he took the job because he didn't want to deal with you anymore defensively, so that's why he came to Atlanta. Matt, let's talk to you. The new rules this year, the kicking game, moving back a little bit. Does that affect you at all?
No, I've tried to approach every day, every kick, that, you know, it's all the same. It's just going to be a little bit further this year. But you know, it's now part of the game, so, you know, just go out there and do your job.
Sources also tell me it's called the Matt Bryant rule. They're going to put the extra point back to the 50-yard line because he's automatic every time.
Well, from watching video, we may have to turn it into the Darren rule.
Yeah, Darren's going to step up. I think it's on a 10-day contract. Devontae, man, you're ready to, you know, a big role here, 2015. It's going to be awesome. Your approach to the offseason, preparation mentally, physically, increase of carries. What do you expect in this coming year for your opportunity? You know, Steven Jackson, when he was here, did his job, moved on. You ready for the opportunity?
Yeah, I'm up for the challenge. Whatever come at me, I'm ready for. I'm prepared for every damn practice. I feel like it's starting practice first, and I bought in already to what these guys were trying to been preaching since day one. So with me, it's all about being able to do it again over and over and over. So I'm up for it.
Kyle Shanahan throwing some new nuances into this offense. What have you seen so far that you really like?
Yeah, that I didn't like?
That you do like.
Oh, I say I like everything.
State of the like franchise, everything. Postseason, we'll talk about stuff you didn't like. Preseason, we got to talk about stuff you like.
I like everything. Been to run routes out the backfield, line up at receiver, which I work on a lot, just because I want to be a complete back and I want to be on the field at all times. So he allows me to do everything.
There you
so
go, right?
I like everything about it.
Now, Desmond, man, you're on an island all by yourself out there. I guess going against Julio every day in practice, you can only get better. But this year, man, you got some of the top wide receivers you're going to go up against on Sundays in the National Football League. We got Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham Jr., Andre Johnson. Oh, he's going to shut him down. He's going to shut him down. But he's got to get ready for it. The plan, the offseason, start preparing for those bigger guys. What's it been like for you to get ready for this year?
It's easy game day because I got to go against him every
day. That's right.
So, but, you know, every day, you know, I'm just speaking for myself. But I know the whole defense, we're trying to get better every day, find something, no matter how small or how big it is, to improve on. And, you know, and that accumulates over a while. But, you know, with myself, I'm just working on my patience, the small fundamental things of my technique, and, you know, everything else will come. I know I had the abilities, but I'm just trying to refine my technique, and that's what I'm working on every day.
Yes. And Julio.
My iPad, I need a smaller font to get these numbers in. 104 receptions, 1,593 yards, 6 touchdowns. You got no pressure, man. You ready to rock this year? And how do you, can you improve on those numbers in 2015?
I definitely can improve.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I did my best last year. You know, I'm bigger, faster, stronger than I ever was. You know, to this point now, shouts out to the trainers, Marty, AJ. You know, they helped me out. But I definitely can improve. You know, everything. Like you said earlier, going against True, we got great corners there. By me using my size, but I use my quickness because those are smaller guys. They come up sometimes. They, you know, with speed running down the field, and they, like I said, they just we just try to get better every day. I don't know, man. Like True, Alfred, you know, we work together. We try to compete every day, try to get better, and you know, like I said, Coach, he challenges every day to go out there and be the best we can possibly be, and that's what we do.
Yeah, man. With a healthy O line, with Matt and Jake and yourself. I'm definitely taking first overall pick in the fantasy football draft. That's for sure, right? Let's have some fun with you guys. I'll start with you, Julio.
Okay.
Who's the one player on the team you would not want to go into an Octagon MMA ring with? Dan Quinn.
I'm pretty bad myself.
All right, Jake, what about you, man? MMA, who's somebody you're walking the other way?
We've been doing this boxing program, and I've actually seen Coach Quinn doing some of it, and he's pretty impressive. I don't know, if I get the first few landed on him, I think I'm all right, but I'm going to fall hard if he hits me in the face.
All right, besides Julio and Coach Quinn, who else are you scared to get in the ring with?
I ain't scared.
All right, there you go.
I'm scared.
Now, I love you, but I know the answer to this. It's everybody on the team, so I'm not going to ask you who you're afraid of.
You better speak for
yourself. Yeah. I'm just messing.
As long as they don't step on my foot, I'm all right.
There you go. No. True?
You know, it's a phrase that the receivers hear me say a lot. And, you know, when it comes to that, it's easy. So
there you go.
It's easy.
All right. We'll start with you then, True. One team you're looking forward to playing this year, and why?
To be honest, I love all the games. But, you know, that there's something about that first game because,
Monday night.
You know, all the preparation you done put in over the whole off season, you know, all the training camp, OTAs, mini camp, and now it's here. Now it's time to go win. And so I'm excited for this first game. I mean, I love every game is exciting, but that first game, I love it.
Matt, you're a veteran in the league, and one team you want to knock off?
Like True was saying, I mean, they're all pretty important, but it seems like all of the games that we've played, they're pretty close. And I'd have to say, you know, the Saints game is always close.
Devontae?
Me? Man, I'm for real, man. I want to punish everybody we play.
There you go.
One by one. And I just want them to know who we is and what we represent. We ain't finna just beat the Saints. We're going to beat the one by one. Next, we're just going to beat you. Like, I want to beat everybody we play.
There you go. What about you, Jake?
What he said.
Julio, one team you're looking for. What they said.
Nah. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. You know, every game they're going to get that work.
Right.
You know, you don't take no opponent lightly. So every game we go out there, you know, like I said, DQ, he challenges us. We're going out there every game, and we're going to give all we got.
There you go. I got two more for you. Your house is burning, but everyone's safe. Pets, family members, everybody's safe. I want the two things you're taking out of your house.
Me? I'm coming up out of there.
I said everybody's safe. Everybody's safe. Family safe, pets safe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're all right. Coach Quinn, TD, he's all right. Two things.
The refrigerator.
All right. Can you imagine the house is burning? You got a refrigerator.
I'm coming out of there with the fridge. And probably my bed.
Your bed. We're a long way down the stairs. Jake, what about you?
I got to take my couch.
Couch?
Yeah. It's a good couch. It's a really good couch.
Then, that's a rookie there, you know, a second-year pro realizing you're taking a couch out. What's the second thing?
I'll take my truck.
The truck.
Texas boy, I got my truck. Yeah, I say my truck, and
no memorabilia, mementos, anything like that from college games, nothing.
I mean, knowing my family good, I'm good.
That's good.
I'll take my truck.
Matt, what about you? Two things.
Assuming that the car charger is still out in the car.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean the phone charger, not the car.
Yeah.
My lazy boy chair. And the other lazy boy chair. Get out.
You sense a common theme? These guys like to chill, relax. True.
Well. I love my city, so I got a lot of hats. I'm from Tacoma, so I gotta grab my Tacoma Rainiers hat first. That's what I got a hat on my head, and then I just got one of them 4K TVs too. So
okay, very good. That. The hat and the TV, you're set. All right, final question for you, gentlemen. Big game four tonight. I know you guys are big basketball fans as well. On Channel 2, by the way, another plug for the station. Who's winning tonight, and who's winning the series?
Bron.
They're winning tonight in the series.
LeBron James.
You realize you're in Atlanta, and they did knock off the Hawks, okay?
I mean, I just feel, you know, the percentage of shots that, you know, he's taking, you know, all his shots are high percentage. He's getting in the paint a lot. And the Warriors, they're special from the three, but, I mean, sometimes you miss the three, you know. So, but we'll see. But I got Cleveland, though.
Move over Van Gundy, the new NBA analyst on ABC. Matt, who you like?
Unless it's my son playing, I'm probably not watching.
All right, fair enough.
So I couldn't tell you.
All right.
I got Bron.
Bron?
Yeah.
Jake?
I keep falling asleep at halftime. What's the series even at?
Man, you gotta get off the couch. It's the couch.
Man. I think the Cavs are gonna win it.
It's the couch. Julio, you LeBron?
LeBron James.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, give it up for the players who represent the city, the team. Desmond, Matt, Devontae, Jake, and Julio. Good stuff, guys. I love you, man. You know that. I'm just messing with you. Gentlemen, fun stuff, Julio. We'll get that deal, 10%. Don't forget. All right, fans, now the time you've been answering or asking questions on the great website, ATLSOF2015.com. Time now to check out your questions. So let's bring back the panel. Back to the stage once again. Owner Arthur Blank, Thomas Dimitrov, Dan Quinn, Frank Fernandez, and Julio. Get back on up here. Let's go. Big board, 93 votes. All right, let's go with Mr. Dimitrov here. Has our first round pick been signed yet? If not, what's the holdup?
Yeah, good question. I got the same question.
He has not been signed yet. It's very close. And and rest assured, Arthur, it'll be done very quickly, and he'll be very happy.
Second question. Any of the guys, we'll start with Coach Quinn. Have you noticed the impact Vic Beasley has been making on the social media? I know you're on Twitter. His Twitter account seems to be a love letter to the Falcons. Is he making all the right moves?
We're definitely going to talk about that tomorrow, because when he's not even here, and when they were playing his thing, they were cheering way louder than they were for me. So he's going to hear about that tomorrow for sure.
All right. Speaking of Twitter, man, we got to – all right, smile, everybody. Thousands in attendance are going to get this. There we go. Very good. Another plug. All right, back to the big board. This is re-signing of Coy Bierman, his role, Coy Bierman's role. I'm just reading them, folks. You can't get mad at me for this, man. What's his role going to be, Mr. Bierman?
Well, he's going to play our Leo position, and so that's oftentimes our open side defensive end, and another guy. We love his toughness, his grit, what he stands for, the work that he puts in. So we couldn't be more fired up to have Croy on and letting it rip.
I know TD is a big into innovation and technology, making the practices better for his players. So I want you both to answer this one. Can Julio Jones wear a GoPro in practice? Fans would love to see his perspective. You down for a little GoPro in practice?
I'm down for it.
All right.
I'm down for it, yeah.
There you go. We make things, dreams come true here on the State of the Franchise. Coach Quinn, since he scores every four touches, he let Mr. Smith touch the ball 8 times a game. And Toad.
I think that question came from his family.
Yeah. All right. Mr.
Yes.
Blake. Yes, there you go. Mr. Blake, how are the PSLs process going, and are people actually buying them?
We're actually, I ought to let our team president answer that question. You got a mic?
I have a mic.
Yeah, well, you don't. You got to give him a mic. Give him a chance.
Rich McKay, everybody.
You know, he's our PSL.
Why is it I always get the PSL questions? The answer is they're going very well. So all of you we've been contacting you, and we will get you to the preview center. And I assure you that when you get there, I think you'll like the experience, in the sense that we're going to make sure you know exactly what your options are. We've tried to make it where you have plenty of options, and so far, so good. The club seats, the premium, which we've already sold, has done extremely well. We're now into the 100 level. We'll then go to the 200 level. We'll go to the 300 level. But realize it's not a first-come, first-serve, because we've allocated you a seat, which is supposed to replicate or be close to where you are now in the stadium. So we're off to a good start. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go.
Rich. The other thing I would add, thank you, Rich. The other thing I would add to that is that we're making appointments for every single season ticket holder. So this is not a mass thing. It's one-on-one, alone with each one of you and your families.
All right, next question on the big board, gentlemen. Maybe Mr. Blank can answer this. Can you build pedestrian walkways, bridges over the roads around the stadium to help the flow of traffic? We spend all of our time waiting for pedestrians to cross.
I'm laughing, and so is Scott Jenkins, our general manager of the stadium, sitting right here in Rich's as well. We had a meeting this morning just on that subject. So the question is not if we're going to have one. The answer is yes. The question is we're going to have several. So we need to solve that problem. So we need to make sure, both in terms of security of our fans and ease of moving around and getting folks in and out of the stadium, and making sure the folks trying to leave with cars can do it quickly and safely as well. So we're addressing that issue. We got lots of partners working on that. We're looking at it from a community perspective as well, because part of what we've talked about earlier, and I want to give a special thanks, if I can, Zach, to these four folks on the West Side. You did a beautiful job tonight. Thank you very much for expressing yourselves as well as you did. But part of what we want to make sure we do is connect to the West Side. And that just means it's not just emotionally and financially, but it means physically as well, and making sure that the stadium and the arcades and the plaza and Centennial Park, all of that was more open and more welcoming to the folks who are living in those communities.
All right, good stuff. Devontae kind of talked about the energy and the passion and the fire. He wants to, you know, punch these guys in the mouth. So the question is, hey, Dan Quinn, maybe you should be the starting running back, but who is going to be your starting running back this year?
Well, the competition for running back starts with Devontae. And, we can give it up for Devontae.
Yeah, give it up for Devontae.
And we certainly added to that competition with Tevin Coleman. And these guys, and Devontae in particular, he does not back down from a challenge. You saw that from him. I love his energy. I love the effort, the style. We can't wait to have these guys, both of them, together, handing it to them, throwing it to them. They're going to be a factor.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't answer the question that's on the board, but since he asked me to ask you, playoffs 2015?
It's a great question. Here's what I can tell you. There's a lot of work to do before then,
yep.
But here's what I will tell you.
He's going like this. All right.
This team, we're going to, every game, we're going to approach it like it's a championship game. And that mindset, that toughness, every team's going to get all we have. And then the next team, they're going to get it. And the next team after that and after that. And at the end of that, we'll like the results.
Oh, what a great way to end on. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Julio Jones and Frank and Arthur, Coach Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff. That's going to do it for the 2015 Falcons State of the Franchise. It's going to be an awesome year. Drive home safely and always remember, rise up, everybody. Thank you.